Okay, our next speaker is Michelle Keurig, who will speak to us about the radiation-driven winds, solutions, and applications.
Hey, good morning. So that's the topic of my talk, and let's start. I'm going to talk about what the people know as the fast solution or the standard solution from line-driven winds, and all three new slow solutions that come out from the same standard model. There's no extra physics in the model. I will explain this picture later. The model is the famous Castor, Abbott, and Klein model from 1975, and the improvements done by Friend and Abbott and Paul Drachpuls and Kudrytsky in 86. The model is based that the radiation field gives momentum to the metals or ions in the surface of the star, and this through Coulomb collisions with the rest of the plasma drives all the bulk of material outside the star, and is known as radiation-driven winds or line-driven winds because the metal are interacting just in the lines. And the standard assumptions are that the wind is stationary. We are not going to talk about any time-dependent fissure. It has almost no or no viscosity. It's symmetrical, spherical symmetric, and no magnetic fields. So we have the continuity equation and the momentum equation, where you have the inertia, the gas pressure, gravity, the correction about the Thomson scattering for electrons, and the line force produced by the radiation field on the many lines of the different ions. And this line force was first parametrized by CAK, and it's a bit complicated modelization of the wind. Has a constant, which depends on the mass loss, and if you want to solve this problem, it's a really nonlinear problem with many singular points and eigenvalues. So the mass loss rate is one of the eigenvalues of the problem. Has this main term, which is proportional, the force is proportional to the square of the radial coordinate, the velocity, and the gradient of the velocity. And the alpha represents the ensemble of lines that drives the wind, and it's a value that can change between 0.4 and 0.7, depending on the star and the element abundances. This term is introduced by David Abbott in 1982. It's the electron density divided by the dilution factor to the power of delta, and delta means represents how the ionizations change throughout the wind. And then we have this correction factor for the finite disk, because the original CAK star was a punctual star, so now we have a disk, and you see the projection of the disk as observed from the observer in the wind. So after this MK model was introduced in 86, the mass loss rate diminished a bit, and because the same luminosity of the star gave the same momentum, so less mass loss produced a higher terminal velocity of the wind, and the people were happy that can have a theory that describes mostly O stars. And this is the standard solution, what I call the fast solution. Yeah, and there are many works about that. But many years ago, I started to take into account the rotation effects in these one-dimension models. The papers only gives information about 0.73 value of the omega parameters, which is the rotational velocity divided by the breakup velocity. So I study again this, and you have to introduce this centrifugal force, and this equation is valid only in the equatorial plane of the star. And I prove it theoretically that the fast solutions died. There is no more fast solutions when this omega value is about 3/4. And from them, you have another solution, which I call omega slow solutions, which is higher denser density, or higher density, and a slower velocity profile. Yeah, about the terminal velocity for this solution is about 1/3 of the fast solution. So the natural application for these objects are B bracket T supergiants and BE stars. I will not talk about these things because I talked many years ago. Only thing that we found that the equatorial density divided by the polar density is about 100 times and is near the observed values. But now I'm going to talk about BE stars, and this is a work I have done, actually Jesse Seele have done with Carol in this university in the last months. And we took a B1 main sequence star with these stellar parameters and these line force parameters. So if we change the value of alpha, we have different velocity profiles. This coordinate is u, is the inverse of the radial coordinate. So minus 1 is stellar surface, and 0 is infinite. And this is the velocity in kilometers per seconds. So you see the lower is the value of alpha, the lower is the profile and terminal velocity. So through the continuity equations, after we got these velocity profiles, we can get the density profiles, and we get these black lines for these models. But if you compare for what the people use for a Keplerian disk with this formula, you get these densities, which is a factor 2 or 3 higher than the one that this theory gives. So talking with Joachim Puls, he pointed out that the value of k is roughly the inverse of the alpha value. Actually, section 2.6 in his huge paper from 99, I and A supplement series. So we decided to take now k as a free parameter and calculate the wind for all these parameters. You see, from 2 stellar radius is almost the same profile, and there is a small difference. For a larger value of k, 9, you don't get a very good physical velocity at the base of the wind, but this part are acceptable. So the next step is to put these densities, to see which are these densities, and compare with the standard ones. So we get higher density profiles that are similar in value to the one the people used for BE disk. So yeah, we just send this the things to the EPIJ, and we call this that the K omega slow solution. And we put that velocity profile, density profiles in the BE disk code developed here. And we get, this is the standard BE profile, BE disk profile. And these are the profiles we get with our densities, with value of K a bit higher than the fast solution. So we can observe the same features in H alpha than what has been done for Keplerian disk. And we're pretty confident that with the next steps that I'm going to tell you now, we are getting the same observational features. So of course, if we're talking to a BE star, star is oblate, rotate fast, and the definite disk correction factor is not spherical now. It's different, and the first one to point it out was Kramer and Stan, 96 paper. So this integral is not easy to do, but you can do it. And if you put a Veta law profile in the finite disk, you get the equatorial finite disk, which is much higher than 1.2, which is the spherical one. And in the polar direction, you get up to 3 times the wind. So if we put this in the differential equation for differential equation of motion for line-driven winds, we get polar winds and equatorial winds. And why is from here? Because the star is about 1.4, 1.8 when rotate very fast. So the equatorial radius is much larger than the polar one. So the surface is here. And we get values as about 200 kilometers per second, and before 2 equatorial polar stellar radius, we have speeds which are of about 100 kilometers per second. So the ratio between the equatorial density and the polar density is about 100, what the people observe. If you took the same things with a spherical star, the ratio is about 10. So the oblateness just give the density contrast that is observed, and okay, will depend on with the value of the alpha parameter you take. So in the next months, we want to put these densities in the bare disk code and see what happens. And the last thing is the delta slow solutions. If we raise the value of the delta parameter in line force parameters a bit larger than 0.3, we get another kind of solutions. What I'm going to show is a B supergiant with these values. And the solution is this one. It's a really slow solution, less than 300 km per second, and has a structure that is cannot be represented by the standard beta. This beta 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5, and 3, the beta law, cannot describe these solutions. And our code is EatWind, and the output of this wind now we can put in FastWind code from Joachim Puls. He went to Chile to spend a couple of weeks doing that work and working with us. And here is a star, the star that I show you, observe it. In blue lines is the beta law solution, and in black line is our hydrodynamical solutions for H alpha, which is pretty good. And this is not only for H alpha, H beta, H gamma, and helium lines. So we're pretty confident that these solutions explain the winds, the spherical winds, from B and A supergiants. And we expect to solve this discrepancy between the predicted mass loss for B supergiants. And what we want to do in the next years is to calibrate this wind momentum luminosity relationship in the local galaxies, in the local group galaxies, and prepare where the new large facilities are coming, two of them in Chile, so we can have a new tool for distance indicators. And in the last 2 minutes, we make all the changes in order to run the code with SUSE code to see the stability. This work has been done, this part has been done with Stan and one student of him, Madura, in 2007. We have a slight difference because this is the fast solutions, this is the slow solution. That in red is the stationary solution with our code, and in the other color is the SUSE output. And this is the fast solution and the delta slow solution, which is also stationary. So what we want to do, what we think is these conclusions, we think these slow solutions solve some of the current problem in massive stars. We need to make more time-dependent calculations, start to put these time-independent calculations as 2D time-dependent calculations. And yeah, thanks, we live in Chile, we can have a lot of observational time and make more constraints to the theory. So thank you. Yes.
The outflow velocities in your equatorial seem to be on the order of 100 to 200 miles per second. How do you reconcile that with observations by people like Hanushik, who show that the outflow velocities in these star disks can at most be a couple of kilometers per second?
Yes, the question is where, because the thermal velocity is about 200, but if we look just at 200 kilometers, it's less than 100 what we obtain. So we want to see how big is the influence of the oblate part, and also I have to talk with him. Is we add a bit of viscosity to see what happens. Yeah, we don't have in these models already the viscosity term.
But I mean, the observational constraints show that the outflow velocity is maybe even in the inner regions of the disk.
Okay.
But you know, 1 or 2 kilometers.
Yes, for me, we have a huge star, a BE star, and for me, it's not possible that we have just a Kepler disk without some outflow velocity. And with this theory, I want to explain that. But of course, it's just our game. We cannot, without 1D model, try to describe a whole star. Yes, so we need more like your paper for the inhibition of his model. This paper has been done just for the fast solution. But if we put the slow solution in the equator and the fast solution in the poles, maybe we can get slower winds. I don't know.
I think that the work that you're doing on the supergiants and the fact possibly that you can have slow solutions explain these H alpha profiles that are P Cygni like and stuff, that looks like really nice, interesting work. But I think the notion that you can apply a wind solution to the disks from the stars, which are clearly Keplerian, I think is really misguided, frankly. I think the plot that you showed where you have the line profiles, the double peak line profiles,
yeah.
I don't understand how you can get with those line profiles when you have angular momentum conservation, where V5 falls off like 1 over R. But the profiles from a stellar wind should be very, very narrow, because at best they start at critical rotation, and then they have to fall off like 1 over R. And I don't understand how you can get such broad lines. That looks to me, I don't know for sure, but did you possibly use a Keplerian rotation velocity?
Yeah, this is the Keplerian rotation.
Yeah, but how can you have Keplerian rotation of a wind? Keplerian rotation arises from...
No. This is what the people do with the ad hoc equatorial density for B.
Right, the hydrodynamic solution there.
Yes?
The hydrodynamic solution there.
From the inner region.
I'm sorry?
It's coming from the inner region. So you have a higher velocity.
So that... All right, well, maybe we should talk about this offline.
Yeah, it's a more extended discussion on proposals taken offline. Maybe one last question. There was something in the back. John?
Well, it's actually the same basic question, but why are the two peaks the same height if you have an outflow velocity in the inner part of the disk of heat and kilometers a second? I would expect there to be an asymmetry.
Okay, maybe we can discuss that later then.
One more time. Mm-hmm.